Hi, my name's Steph. If you don't know me, I'm the minister here. I work very part-time and I work alongside Simon, our team leader. And I want to talk to you today about planting and watering. I like to garden. If you saw my garden, you wouldn't realise that, but I do like to garden. And in spring, I like to plant seeds and maybe take some cuttings. I've been planting nasturtiums. I love nasturtiums. I just think they're amazing. They're very pretty and they kind of fall everywhere. And you can eat them even better. I like things you can eat. I've also planted a runner bean. I'm hoping that looking after one will be okay because I didn't do very well last year. Black fly got them. But when I plant seeds, I look at the progress. You know, I plant my seeds, I water them, and then every couple of days, literally, nothing yet, nothing, and I keep watering. Don't overwater, that's very bad. But I've also taken fuchsia cuttings, my husband has taken a cutting from a fatsia, and it's growing, even bigger. I think he's a better gardener than me. And even fig. I've got a fig in a pot, and so got a couple of cuttings of figs that seem to be doing quite all right. Okay, got an interested person over there. Do you know when you garden, you plant and you water, you pot up. So I've learned about that, and you water. Mustn't forget the watering. You plant out and you water. And then hopefully you harvest, and then maybe you prune. And when you go on holiday, you get somebody else to water. Okay, it's very important. So with all this hard work, we've had quite a crop of nasturtiums, haven't we? The beans are coming on nicely. Got some nice fuchsias growing in the garden. Some nice Nicotiana. Next door neighbour gave me some little babies, and I've potted them up, and I've grown them on. So things are doing quite well. I don't know about you, but do you like to kind of grow things or build things even? Yeah? Anybody like to create things? Yep, a few of you. And it takes quite a bit of effort, but you feel quite creative. And something happens and you get that kind of satisfaction at the end of it. Well, this week I'm going to be talking to you about growing the church. Woo! Because we can grow, you know, not just this way. We can grow numerically and we can grow spiritually. So how to grow the church. Now, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, now I want you to listen to this because this is quite important. And if you're here just trying to find out a bit more about the faith and what we all believe in and whether we're quite strange, that's fine. You'll learn a bit about what we believe, but you don't have to do what I'm telling you to do, okay? You're let off the hook. And so I'm going to read to you a bit from a letter that a chap called Paul wrote about building the church. And he felt this was really important. This is what he did. He was a very early follower of Jesus. And he went around planting churches, a bit like plants. And he would go to a town and he'd start a church. He'd tell them about Jesus, start a church. And then he would entrust that to somebody else. And then he'd move on, plant another church. And he was usually working in partnership with other people. So this is a letter to the church at a place called Corinth. And Paul uses the analogy of planting and watering. So I think that's quite good. I can relate to this. He created or planted churches in different places, but Corinth was one of those churches. And he entrusts this little baby church to somebody called Apollos, and then off he goes and starts another one. But the people in the church are having a bit of an argument about who they are loyal to. And so we're going to be reading this. So they say, Paul says to them in the letter, for one says, I follow Paul, and another says, well, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? And what he's talking about here is being very immature people. Because you get that sometimes in churches. We've got a few leaders here. Well, I like Simon when he preaches. Steph's rubbish. Do you know what I mean? I hear that a lot. And so only from my husband, but yeah. No, I'm joking. But do you know what I mean? You can have this rivalry, and you get this thing in churches where people, well, so-and-so's all right, but I'm not sure about them. And but Paul is saying, this is just childishness. Come on, sort yourselves out. And then he goes on to say, what after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. So all of us are just servants of God. And he says then, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. So we're all different. Each person has been assigned a task. Not just Paul and Apollos, but there were other people in these churches assigned a task by God. And he goes on to say, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God is the one who makes it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Now, he's not saying we're not important. And we're important. That's why he asks us to be a part of this work, a part of growing his family, growing his church, enabling other people to find out about Jesus, enabling other people to know that new life that comes from only knowing Jesus. It's not that we're unimportant. It's not that we're, you know, unimportant. It's just that we're not mega important. It's God who is important, and we've got to realize that we work together. And he goes on to say again, but only God who makes things grow. And we may have been disappointed in the past where we've tried to talk to friends or family about our faith, and it's fallen on deaf ears. But our job is to talk about it. Our job is to love people, and it's God's job to make things grow. He goes on to say, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. That's interesting, isn't it? We're all working together for the same purpose, which was something we talked about a few weeks back. And each will be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. I like that. Do you like that? You're a field. Not individually, but collectively. You are God's field. I was walking through fields only the other day. Vast, amazing things and different things growing on them. You are God's field. What happens in fields? Sorry? Things grow. Bunny rabbits run. A deer ran. But things grow. Things live in fields. It's full of life. A field is full of life. So he says, you are God's field, God's building. So we are all part of this amazing team that can help to grow the church, which is Jesus' desire to grow the church. In week one of this series, we were looking at our purpose. And our purpose, we've decided, was to love God, to love people, to grow together, to become more like Jesus. And in week two, we looked at our mission, to reach people and make followers of Jesus. In week three, we demonstrated our love for people by throwing a fun day. Do you remember that? Did you come to the fun day? Some of you did. And it was great. Great fun, actually. Even if you didn't have a young family, it was great fun. I was really impressed because I thought this is like family thing. But a lot of older people came and just had a ball. I really enjoyed themselves, cuddling the animals and having fun and talking to one another. So in week two, we looked at our mission and we want to try to be a church that people who don't do church want to be a part of. So we don't want to be a church of people who like being part of it. Sorry, that sounds bad, doesn't it? But our mission, we want to be a church where people who don't normally feel comfortable in church will feel comfortable and will learn about Jesus. We want to provide by all possible means for people to be able to hear and experience and understand the reality of the love of God. So we do this by making our services on a Sunday accessible as possible. So we use, hopefully, language that everybody can understand. We try not to use jargon. If you hear us using jargon, you come up to us afterwards and give us a ticking off gently, okay? We try to provide context. So if you knew nothing about who Paul was, we try to provide a little context about what we're talking about, who we're talking about, and a context that they are talking in. So that's why we do what we do. We want to be as accessible as possible. And last week, Simon talked about our vision to make disciples, to save those who are lost without Jesus. And that's why I thought of that piece of film at the beginning, because I thought, actually, saving a life is about a whole team of people, isn't it? I mean, occasionally an individual will be able to save a life, you know, do the heart massage or use a machine. But often saving lives is a team effort, and it takes time. It takes a lot of effort, but it's about being part of a team. And only last week, I don't know if you heard about this. It was a big story that was on the news in the morning about conjoined twins. Did you hear about that story? Yeah. Safa and Marwa joined at the head, so they had one skull between them. Now, it wasn't about saving their lives, because they were alive, but they didn't have much of a life. They were 2 years old and were just, they couldn't, well, how could you move around, or, you know, they couldn't develop properly because of this thing that they joined together. And on a program, you saw some of the team. There were a couple of surgeons who were working together, but they didn't work alone in the room in the operating theater. There was a whole team around them. But what was interesting, I thought, was she should have been operated on when she was one, because that's the optimum healing time. But she was operated when she was two, because they needed to raise money for the operation. So there were loads of people involved in saving these children who weren't even medics. They knew nothing about medicine, but they had some money that they gave. Do you see? So all sorts of people were contributing to helping to save the lives of these girls. A huge team effort. And growing the church is a team effort. Now, I like teams. I like working in a team. I'm not a loner. I like to work in a team. And so I want to remind you what... So, team. Do you know this? Lots of people know this. So, in a team, everyone, can't spell, achieves more. And that's kind of what Paul was getting at. As part of a team, we achieve more. So each of us, field, building, we have a role in this process to grow the church. Now, to do that, we need to grow ourselves a bit, become mature and bear a bit of fruit. Gardening analogy again. So I want you to grow. Would you like to grow? I don't want you to grow up as thistles, spiky things that hurt and tear at people. I want you to grow as beautiful, aromatic, that means nice smelling, flowers that are attractive. Okay? And the way that we grow is through things like coming to church, reading your Bible, praying. If we are not praying, we probably are not growing. And if we are not reading our Bibles, which is where we hear from God and listen to him about how we should be living our lives, we're probably not growing. And if we're not regularly coming to church to worship him and to engage and meet with him and refocus our lives, we're probably not growing. And if we're not serving in some way, and that can be little ways and big ways, we are probably not growing. We all need to take responsibility for our own growth. I mean, we can water and we can help, but we need to be taking responsibility for growing. The reason is that we want people to be attracted to church, to Jesus. Faith is not taught, it is caught. It's when we see people that we see something different in, that we want to know more about faith. That's what happened to me. It might have happened to you. I don't know. So, because I'll give you another example. So if somebody says to you, do you know, you should take some exercise. What you need to do is go swimming 3 times a week. That'll really do you good. And you say, really? How often do you go? Well, I did my beginners when I was 11, you know. Would you go? No. Or maybe, do you ever eat something that's absolutely stunningly beautiful and delicious? Do you ever have that experience? And you want to tell somebody about it? Say, you should try this. If you go up to somebody and say, you really should try spaghetti bolognese, it's lovely. And they say, really? What's it like? Well, I don't know. I don't eat meat. He's smiling back there. So, do you know what I mean? So, you can't just tell people about stuff. You need to kind of live it. So, I'm going to talk to you a bit about our approach. Growing the church, again, is a team effort. And we need our enthusiasm to infuse others. So I'm going to show you a little picture of something. Now, Simon does this on posh overheads, but I don't want to show you a posh overhead. He talks about a funnel, and I'm going to explain it to you. He talks about the evangelism funnel, and it looks something like this. So this is how we want to reach people. So at the tunnel, the funnel is wide at the top. And above the funnel, I suppose it's like, in a gardening analogy, it's like preparing a ground. So at the top, we have various activities. So it's like, what would be at the top? Something like, something easy to invite somebody to. And that might be the fun day. Or it might be the cafe. Or it might be the, what else? Midday munch, Stuff like that, no religious content, and I've heard this described. This first stage is called gigawalk. Are you impressed with that? Can you remember that? Gigawalk. And it stands for God is good and we're okay. Okay, we're not all weirdos, we're not all strange. So we do these things so that people, maybe socials like quiz nights or anything like that. So people can come and get to know us, and it's an easy ask. So we lay on these things, not for our own benefit, but for you. And they're all kinds of different ones. Oh, what else is there? There's the toddlers. I can't remember what they call it. Pre-mixed, they call it. It's like the cement. And so we have all these kind of things that is an easy ask for all kinds of different people. Now, you've got to be old to go to midday munch. And so anybody... I actually invited a couple of people to the fun day. I find it quite difficult to invite people, believe it or not. But I thought, that's an easy ask. I'll invite my son. And we invited, Don invited the neighbours. So we put out a few invitations. My son came. Miracle. I know. It was amazing. And he came. So, and that was good. But it's an easy ask, you know. Now, the next step down is something that we lay on, which is like the next step to invite people to. So this has got, it's quite nice, but there's a little bit about our faith in there. So that might be lunch club, which is a bit like midday munch, which is just lunch and you get to know us. But lunch club is something with like a tiny little bit of religious content. A holiday at home is like that. Various activities that we are able to invite people to. Songs of praise is like that. That's an easy ask. mostly because of the food. A lot of these have food. So do you see what I'm getting at here? But fewer people will come to those. That's why the funnel is narrowing. Okay? And then down here, we have things like Sundays. So even fewer people might be attracted to coming on Sundays. So. But all of these stages, it's a bit like the planting and the watering. They need watering. Now, if it had been up to me, there would be no fun day because I couldn't organise a drink in a pub. I'm not that sort of person, but we have an amazing administrator who can pull together these sorts of things. We have people tidying up the grounds, mowing the grass so it looks nice. I could do the face painting. That was my contribution. Do you know, other people were praying like mad for it. We each can have a little contribution. But you know what is important when people come to the cafe, midday munch, anything, is that people are nice to them. So when they do meet us, that we actually see people who are kind, who are sensitive, and are putting them first. So that's why we ask our church members to park at the back on a Sunday so that new people coming can park at the front. Put others first. This is you becoming beautiful flowers, okay, and not the thistles. So if there was an altercation at one of our socials, like one of the church people edging their way through to the face painting, that wouldn't be very good, would it? No? Oh, no. Okay. Did you see what I mean? We all have our part to play. So even if some of these things... So I think it's really nice, midday munch, for example, and the holiday at home, new people come to these sorts of things. And the job of the regulars and the church people is to sit with them on the table and to make them feel welcome. We all have a part to play. This is a team effort because together everyone achieves more. So growing the church then is a team effort. But we all need to do that watering. And you know the other thing we all need to do is the inviting. So I don't know who your neighbours are, your relatives, but there might be something that you could invite people to. When we lay on a pantomime, which I think we're laying on at Christmas, who can you invite to that? And if you can't invite somebody, do you want to come along and just be nice to somebody? Or be there for a conversation? Growing church is a team effort, and it needs us to be sensitive. It needs us to make everything easy to understand and accessible. It needs us to make people welcome and to acknowledge their presence and not to be in cliques and cut people out. So if you look at your own, if you tracked your own journey of faith, can you think of the team that was a part of that? How did you come to faith? Who were the people who were involved with that? What was going on around you that people were involved with? Where are you on your journey of faith? How did you get there? And what started your journey? So if growing the church is a team effort, I want you to think about this. What part of the team are you? And is that okay? Are you happy with where you are as part of that team? It may be that you're the one who's happy to give people lifts. And that is brilliant. We've got some great people who give people lifts and smile at people. We've got other people who can actually explain the faith to them. So where are you as a part of the team? Are you taking responsibility for your own growth? And in what ways do you know that you need to grow? Is your faith contagious, but in a good way? Are you inviting? Are you befriending? Are you putting the needs of others around you before your own? Are you part of the team? Are you a beautiful flower in God's garden, attracting others, or a thistle? Now, imagine what the church would look like if we were all full of enthusiasm for Jesus. Beautiful, attractive flowers. Kind, putting others first. So we all need to be part of that team. I want to show you another film now, just in closing, as you think about where you are in the team. Or maybe you can think of how a team of people have come around you when you most needed them. We're going to see a film in a second. And it's a flash mob. Do you know what the thing? And you'll see at the beginning, it's just one person or two people doing something. And then more and more people join in. And you will see and you will feel in your spirit the impact as more people join in together. Some of them are just appreciating and encouraging, and others are working their socks off with a gift that not many of us have. So let's see the film now and think about your part in the team. Thank you.